Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Bill Brandt is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad to have Bill Brandt back on the show. Bill's an old friend of ours and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. His company, Development Specialists Incorporated, consult with and help troubled businesses, not only in the United States, but all over the world, to get back into good shape again after they've maybe fallen off their keel a little bit. And he brings those perspectives to us from the economies all over the world, including Europe, which is where he's just returned from. And we're going to have a little discussion with him about that. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim, and good morning to all your listeners, as always.
It's good to have you back. As always, welcome back to the USA.
Well, they let me back in, which was the good news. I mean, I the word you left at the borders didn't seem to get to every place. So,
well, I talked to the customs agencies. I guess my memo didn't get to them quick enough.
No, they had a more flattering picture. The one you gave out was the one from the website, and so I came in wearing a beard, and who knew?
Well, it's always good to have you back. That's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was the European economy. And so here's my statement, my question to you, and it's a pretty blunt one. Is the European Union going to be competitive? Or I should say, let me call it, to use Mr. Rumsfeld's term, is old Europe going to be competitive in the 21st century?
Maybe. And that's a concession on my part. There are certain economies. Old Europe is, as we know, the EU is comprised of a variety of economies, and the fresher, younger economies, which seems odd as I say that, but the economies that have been within the last several decades, or in the case of Spain, going back to the Spanish Civil War and the end of the Franco era, those economies that have been turned loose more recently appear to be more flexible and more responsive than the older traditional economies.
The Eastern European was primarily,
the Eastern
right?
European, the Czech mm-hmm. Republic, the Slovak Republic.
The Republic of Georgia?
Yeah, that's getting a little... I wouldn't put that in Europe yet, and that the jury's still out on the political... I mean, I look at Georgia like I look at Mexico, which is going to knock people's socks off, but you cannot have long-term economic stability until you have a political infrastructure that supports mm-hmm. it. Certainly Germany, England, and France have that. Hungary and Poland have had an incipient structure, and it's just now taking root. But Georgia and the Ukraine are a fair piece from it, even now. And those are countries I wouldn't look to come to the fore until the middle of this century.
One of the things, the only reason I mention them and some others there in that region is just, you know, notwithstanding the governmental situation, but the people are becoming very entrepreneurial, which is not what's happening in old Europe.
I debate that. There are a lot of entrepreneurial people in old Europe, but I think what you're trying to say, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, is the ability to be very entrepreneurial in Germany, for example, is often measurably inhibited by the governmental structures mm-hmm. that make it difficult, almost make the system hidebound to do that. And those structures, in some cases, are in place in places like Poland and Hungary, but there are ways around them. Creative minds can find them. The Germans and the English and the French, most specifically the Germans and the French, have been at this long enough that it's the mountain of paperwork necessary to do something on a creative basis can be daunting.
Well, England too. I mean, you can't just go over to England and decide to open up a business and go to a bank and walk out with a bank account, for example.
No, but you can if you're an English entrepreneur. Do it. It's. I mean, I'm taking your word when you say just go over to England. I think that Americans can open up a branch in England and do better than you think. There are, almost like Mayor Daley has in the city of Chicago, there are offices you can find that serve as an advocate for these kind of things. And if you work with those offices, you can cut a lot of the red tape. But there is no doubt that there is a significant amount of red tape, using an old, overused phrase, in old Europe, and that is what's going to cause them, I think, some competitive problems as time comes in the future.
Well, right now, the average unemployment in old Europe, and I only use that term to differentiate themselves from the ones over in the East, is at least around 10%. Some of them are higher.
Some of them are much higher, and actually, if you look in New Europe, if you will, the economy, the figure on unemployment is harder to reach because of the fluid nature of the economy and
right.
the non-cash economy.
Right.
I would suspect that the actual unemployment rate is about the same or higher with a lot of people working in sort of underground economies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's funny because I put Georgia and Ukraine in the same category I put Mexico in, and I get a lot of people giving me letters saying, how can you do that? And I must tell you that Nuevo Laredo is a classic example across from Laredo, Texas, and that is that until you have political stability and get around the corruption, you can only take it so far as a small businessman.
Right. You're exactly right. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Bill Brandt after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. The Small Business Advocate is 2012. Stay with us. We're back at 17:10. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And we're having a great visit with our good friend, Bill Brandt. He's the president of Development Specialists Incorporated. Bill, give us your website, please.
It's www.dsi, as in the initials, davidsamindiana.biz, B-I-Z, one of the new URLs.
Right. And folks, there are some outstanding articles that Bill and his folks have written and posted on the website that you can go and take advantage of, and I encourage you to do it. Some very well-written stuff, especially if you'd like to get your head a little bit out of your own marketplace and out into the world a little bit. I know you'll enjoy those. And, Bill, thank you for making those available to us.
Happy to do so, Jim. And I peruse your website every so often myself to see who else is on there and what you're doing. And it's a great website, one of the best.
I appreciate that, Bill.
Except for that picture of you. I mean,
I'm not in charge of the photography.
Obviously. So
I have people who take care of these things.
Well, you got to talk to
them. Actually, my mother did that.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing. I'll let you talk to my mother about that, Bill. Hey,
she
Bill,
still calls.
Let's talk. I want to quote, not quote, but I want to make reference of something that President Chirac of France said a month or so ago after his country turned down the EU Constitution. You know, he reacted by firing his number one guy and replacing him with another guy. And he said, we're going to make some changes, and it's going to, some economic changes. But he said something like this. I'm paraphrasing him a little bit, but it won't be an American style capitalism, as if that were, he almost spit that out, spat it out instead of saying it. France and old Europe could use a little more of America's style of capitalism, couldn't they?
I think so. I think that the particular shift, if you will, to the left on worker issues, it makes it very difficult to do business in Europe. It is difficult to terminate people. The labor market is not elastic. Now, there'll be others of your listeners who call me up and say, well, look at what we've done to United in their pensions, which is also a travesty. Somewhere between what can be done to United and their pensions with respect to cavalier attitudes of employees in this country and the difficulty of even moving around with the labor markets in Europe, there must be at least a middle ground and more weighted towards us. But I view that. Chirac is political. I mean, that vote on the European Constitution that Chirac lost was more of a referendum on Chirac. And I mm-hmm. think Sarkozy, who is Chirac's heir apparent from the other side of the aisle, is likely to replace him fairly quickly before the end of the year, I think. And it's just possible that we'll have the same change in Germany, and two very different politicians who have right. a far stronger like of the American alliance will be in power in both places. That won't, I suspect, bring massive changes to the business market, because those are long-term developments in those markets. But there is no doubt that the French and the German economy are in difficult straits right now in terms of entrepreneurship. For the big old line corporations that are well integrated into the system, it's okay, but right now it's difficult for small business.
Well, one of the things that I notice is that some of the kind of systemic challenges that Europe has as part of their government policies over there with regard to employment are we have here in the United States, or we have had in the United States, but not systemic to the government, but systemic to some of our big companies. And as long as we had it, as long as it was like that, these companies could change. They could downsize. They could become bankrupt. They could close up or sell to someone else or whatever. They could do a lot of different things. And so adjustments could be made because they were only systemic to the corporations, not to the way the government imposed employment requirements. In Europe, it was more government related. And so isn't that a good reason to keep government out of our employment policies?
No, I will tell you that.
Now, do you disagree with me, or you just think I'm wrong?
You know, I knew you were wrong once when you claimed you'd made a mistake and you hadn't. There's a middle ground here. All of politics is a middle ground, Jim, and you and I go at this all the time with each other. If you think back to the century before the last one, with the child labor markets and the rest of it, there is an ample need for government to be in the labor market and to provide safeguards on a variety of concerns, whether it's overtime, industrial accidents. There's an ample reason for government to be there. There is a tendency at any level of government for over-control and entrenchment, and I think that's what you're speaking to, and I couldn't agree more. At some point, if you can't terminate somebody, whether it's a teacher in the Chicago school system or a factory worker in Germany, without 6 months of expensive process, you've made your organization virtually non-responsive to the changes it needs to accommodate to face the future. And those systems are always a problem. But that doesn't mean that government's the problem. It just means that there needs to be an occasional streamlining of the process. And that's the give and take of politics more than it is anything else. But, you know, if you look at Europe, Jim, you decry with me when we're on the phone the issue of the American pension plan process and the rest of it and how this is the century of entrepreneurship and people have to be more self-reliant.
That's right.
There's a lot of countries in the world, Europe, old Europe especially, where that philosophy just hits a wall. And as much as you espouse it, the population is eminently comfortable with the fact that there is a social safety net, perhaps a bit broader and a bit deeper than we offer in the States, and they're simply politically not willing to part with that.
But that is a dinosaur's perspective.
It's a political perspective.
In the 21st
perspective.
Century,
it's a political perspective. I mean, you know, Sweden thinks that they do it just right, even though they're now beginning to realize they have to dismantle a bit of it and tinker with it. It's a political perspective.
I was in Sweden 2 years ago, and I visited with a lot of small businesses owners over there, and they don't think that they've got it right. At least the small business owners don't. When we come back, we're going to see what Bill thinks of how all this is going to affect you and me and our small businesses in the next year or two. Right after these messages, 10 till, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Bill Brand is our guest. His website is dsi.biz. DSI.biz. I hope you check that out, folks. Really smart stuff there. Bill's a smart guy, and he's got a lot of smart people working for him, and he even knows a couple of smart people outside of his organization. So he always has
present company included,
something good to say about that. Bill, the doggone U.S. economy just keeps doing well. I mean, they had to revise the first quarter numbers up. It looks like we're going to come in by the end of the year at a good solid 3.6 or so percent growth, and the European Union is doing like 1.5 or something like that. What are we doing wrong over here? Things are just so great. What's wrong?
Oh, that's always been the case. The European Union, if you think about it, when you talk about it, has to be leveled by a variety of states. Greece is one. I will get letters from your Greek listeners, but I'm married to a wonderful Greek lady, so please. But there are certain economies. Portugal is another, where there are problems with those economies, and the richer nations support the poorer nations, and they haven't quite worked that out. And of course, even within countries, East Germany is still a major drag on West Germany as they try and do that integration. Mm-hmm. Having said that, there is no doubt that the structural ability of the United States to respond is far quicker than Europe ever will be, and that is, I think, the nub of the problem that you and I discussed. The Europeans, especially the Germans and the French, are not terribly responsive to entrepreneurial efforts.
They need to take a lesson from the Irish, don't they?
They need to take a lesson from the Irish and from the English. I mean, look, Richard Branson is an entrepreneur.
Right.
I mean, a very successful one. The English let it happen, and they, just like in America, they will regale, you know, each other with stories of those that have succeeded. The Irish are doing well, and the English have adopted a looser model, but it's... Those are political decisions in each country, and
but,
I like
Bill,
it.
One of the problems with Europe is the tax situation, and that's one of the things I think we have. We're in better shape than they are, because if you go to Europe, you know how heavily layered the tax situation is over there. In the United States, as bad as it is, there are not as many levels of taxation here as there is over there, and you know the economy. You know, as you know, Bill, I'm a supply sider, and I like what I see. You may not, but I like what I see.
No, I don't have a problem. I mean, the issue for me is not the layer of taxes; it's the simplification. I mean, the Europeans have largely a VAT tax, which drives the public services, and that works.
On top of property tax.
But we also have sales tax and everything else. I mean, there is no doubt that the Europeans are overtaxed, but look, it's GM these days who is making more cars in Canada because they've discovered the Canadian socialized medical system allows them to offload those medical costs on the Canadians, and the Canadians like it that way. There are trade-offs, Jim. It isn't. I wish it was as simple as you say it is, but there are some trade-offs.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that Europe is generally overregulated and overtaxed. Are there things we could learn from them and they could learn for us? Absolutely. That's the nature of the world.
What is all this going to mean for small businesses over the next, throughout the rest of 2005 and let's say into 2006? We're getting our budgets ready. What's your advice?
If you're a small business guy in this country, don't look to the West, if you will, I mean, the classic West. I don't mean in terms of direction. I mean Europe. Look to the East. Your competition is going to be Malaysia, China, Thailand, Vietnam, especially the low-cost producers. And that is both your competition and your great relief, because the products you can buy, the margins, the costs are going to be there to be had, and the Asians are doing everything they can to sell into this market. And with what I see is the beginning movements on the Chinese currency, I think this remains to be a decade of Asia and well into the next.
What should we be selling them?
They need everything. You know, the problem is the consumer markets are just developing there. What we need to do is get our sharpest people there, finding a market for our best products, and providing absolute competition on the ground before the homegrown market picks it up. You know, Motorola learned when it tried to sell in China, which it still does very effectively, that with a billion Chinese, you can start a home market with a home product, and there's enough people there to make it a competitive market.
We've got to make those folks our customers and our partners, not just think of them as competitors, do we?
That's absolutely what we have to do. And frankly, the Chinese are at that stage in their entrepreneurial life where you got a better product, they'll buy it. That's what they're looking for, the latest, greatest thing. It's everything that moves them forward. You show something to them they can't resist, and they won't.
In his book, China Inc., Ted Fishman says that the middle class in China, just the middle class, is the size of the American population.
Yes, but that still is a minority by way of a sliver of the population.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I mean, I look for the middle class in China to triple by the year 2020.
Wow. A lot of customers, folks. Thank you, Bill, for being here. Good job today, as always.
Jim, always a pleasure, and I love your listeners and you, and wish you the very best with the show.
We'll see you next time. Bill Brandt, ladies and gentlemen, I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Lessingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.